One of the major themes of the Bible is the topic of the rest of God. R-E-S-T, rest. Rest on behalf of his creation. Rest on behalf of us who are his chief creation. God provides rest. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." From the beginning of creation, God wanted mankind to enjoy and experience what is called Sabbath rest. This rest that we're talking about is a rest, in essence, like paradise. When God created the world, when he created the Garden of Eden, he placed them in green pastures. The garden, if you will, a place that was full of green pastures. It was a place that symbolized the paradise of God, the paradise of his rest. Then God delegated the shepherding responsibility of helping to care for and to have dominion over the rest of his creation. He delegated that to Adam and to Eve. The first recorded shepherd in the Bible, if you will, is Abel. Did you know that? Abel was the first shepherd. In Genesis 4, chapter 4 and verse 2, it says that he was a keeper of sheep. The first recorded shepherd was Abel. The Bible tells us that Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs, they were shepherds. The Bible tells us that Moses shepherded the flock of Jethro for nearly 40 years. Moses was a shepherd. You go down and we find David. David was a shepherd who kept watch over his father's sheep. There's something special about a shepherd. But it was God who acted as the great shepherd, caring for Adam and Eve in the garden paradise. It was God who walked with Adam as a shepherd in the cool of the day. It was God who provided and met his every need until Adam and Eve felt they could no longer, or that they no longer needed the chief shepherd, Jehovah God. And then they wandered off on their own. They began to roam from God's paradise. They thought the grass was greener on the other side of disobedience. They thought the grass was greener from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Ever since then, we have struggled to be at rest with God. We've struggled to be at rest with ourselves, with each other, and with creation. The world is busier now than it ever has been in the whole history of the world. I think many of us can say amen to that. The world system is constantly seeking the validation of its own works without accepting the wonderful work of God in his creation and his redemptive work on the cross. In essence, the world, they are like sheep without a shepherd. The beauty of the 23rd Psalms in verse number 2 is that for those who believe God, For those of us who believe in God, we find that God has provided for us a paradise in the desert of this world. He's provided for us a resting place in Him that we can continually resort to in times of trouble. When we are tired, when we need strength to recover from a difficult day, it is a place whereby we can find joy and peace. And the word delight through the comforting presence of our shepherd. The rest of God has to do with delight. Did you know that? David said, delight yourself in the who? In the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What he is saying is that we can have a little taste of God's paradise by placing our faith and our hope and our trust in God's leading of our lives. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the comforting care of the shepherd for the sheep. The comforting care of the shepherd for the sheep. It says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me. It makes me wonder why God, the chief shepherd, Jehovah God, the shepherd of our souls, the bishop of our souls. It makes me wonder why he has to make the sheep lie down. Number one, sheep need tending to. Boy, that was a big one, wasn't it? Sheep need tending to. The shepherd may need, listen to this, to trim their hooves so that they can walk right. You say, where are you going with that, Pastor? It has nothing with laying down. Well, actually it does. The sheep have to follow the shepherd. And maybe once or twice a year, the shepherds, their hooves, they begin to grow. And they grow very long sometime. And sometime it curls up and it's painful for the sheep to walk on. You ever had a corn like that? You ever had an ingrown toenail? Well, can you imagine a sheep having the same difficulty? So what the shepherd has to do is he has to do some trim work, if you will, in order for the sheep to walk right. In other words, there may be things in our lives that may hinder us from walking with the shepherd, and God needs to trim some things away. Amen. All right? God wants us to walk upright, and He does not want us limping in spiritual pain. So what a shepherd does, I spent a lot of time just, researching shepherds and what they would do in order to care for the sheep. One of the things that they would do, there's a special way in which a shepherd actually clips or trims the hooves of the sheep. What they would do is they would take the sheep and they would have the sheep in front of them. And what they would do is they would turn the sheep's head almost 180 degrees and bend it in the direction that they wanted the sheep to go. So they turned the head, and then they would take the bottom of the sheep or the hind part of the sheep, and they would flip the sheep over, and then they would lie the sheep down, and they would rest the sheep on themselves, and they would put the sheep's head behind them, hold their hooves in front of them, and take the trimmers and clip the hooves of the sheep. And so they have to be made to lie down to do this.
All right.
because they cannot walk right. And there are times in our lives where we may struggle with a particular issue, where we may struggle with some concern, where we may have some knees that seem to have us spiritually limping behind the Lord. We may not be as motivated to go to church, or we may not be as motivated to do what God asks us to do, because why? We have too much hoof on our spiritual bodies. And God says, I need you to trust me as your shepherd. I know you don't even see it. You don't even pay attention. The sheep don't pay attention to it. They don't even know that it's there. And oftentimes what God is doing in our spiritual journey, he is constantly shaping us and molding us and bringing to our attention our need of him. And even when we don't know we need him, he still tends to us. Even when we don't know that we need him, he still comes to us. Even when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Am I right about it? The shepherd may need to trim the hooves so that they can walk right. I'm asking you the question, what is it in your life that God needs to trim or cut away or remove in order for you to walk right? In order for you to act right. He wants you to walk free of pain and discomfort. He wants you to follow him, and he wants to keep you from unnecessary pain and suffering. And when we walk away from him and we roam, if you will, as Adam and Eve did, they roamed away from God's perfect plan, and they found themselves needing God to trim away the sin in their life. And so he made a sacrifice, and he covered them with some skins, the Bible says. Didn't say it was a lamb. It's implied in the thought. But what it does tell us is that God didn't use the if you will, the wool of the animal. The Bible says he used the skin. And what that implies is that if God had to use the skin, that means that the animal would do what? Die. You cannot live without that organism on your body called skin. You would die from infection. You would bleed to death. So what God did is he took an animal, and he sacrificed the animal to cover their sin. Didn't he do it? Yes, God wants us to walk upright and not limping in spiritual pain due to sin. What are some reasons why the sheep are made to lie down in green pastures? They need tending to so they can walk right. Hear the word of the Lord from Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of who? Disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation." That conversation is the word, can be translated walk. In other words, we all walk with the world and not in the word. He says, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as other. By nature, we were naughty, as the hip hoppers would say. We were naughty by nature. We were born into sin. But verse number 4 says, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his, watch this, great love wherewith he loved us. God loved us as his sheep. But God saw us how we were wandering. God saw us in our sinful condition. He saw us as sheep without a shepherd. He saw us in the gall of disobedience and sin. He saw us on our way to hell. And he put a conjunction right there, and he says, but God. But God, who he says is rich, in other words, he's not a millionaire in mercy. He's not a billionaire in mercy. Matter of fact, he's not even a trillionaire in mercy. We don't even have a number that can compound and contrast how rich our God is in mercy. He saw our need of him. Am I right about it? He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love of the sheep. If you did not know, and if nobody ever told you, if you never felt it, if you never even imagined that God loved you, I'm telling you today, God loves you. He just doesn't love you. He loves you with a great love. He loves you. Notice what it says here in verse number 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, watch this, he quickened. That word quickened means that he resurrected, he metamorphosized, he changed, watch this, us together with Christ. Watch this, by grace ye are saved. The world is trying to commend itself and trying to earn God's favor. We in the world are trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And the straps cannot reach the heavens, nor are we strong enough to pull up the straps that God has. So God says, I'll give him my own strap. My strap is Jesus. My strap is the strap of him going to the cross, being beaten for our sins and our transgressions. That's the strap you ought to choose. How he was beaten for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Yes. He says he raised us up together. We were all dead. It's the beauty of this passage of scripture, because guess what? None of us can look at somebody and condemn them, because we were all dead men, dead women walking. And Jesus saw our condition, and he came after us. He sought after us. He sent his Holy Spirit to come and to knock on the door of our hearts, so that when the preacher preached, we would open our hearts, that he would soften our hearts, and we would open our hearts to receive the truth of his word. Yes. And so we were sinners together, but now he said we're saved together. We were sinners together, but now we're saints together. Aren't you glad about that? I remember I used to go to the club. I'm going to tell on myself. Can I tell it? Oh, boy, I can dance now. I had circles out there. I mean, you know, I was doing my thing. I still got a little bit. But what I'm saying is that I enjoyed it. Yeah. Can I tell the truth? Yeah. I enjoyed sinning. I liked it. Okay. I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay. And if you tell the truth when you did it, you liked it too. You just didn't like getting caught. You just didn't like nobody telling you about it. Y'all know I'm right. Y'all looking at me like I'm up here by myself. I'm just going to tell it like it is. I enjoy sin, but guess what? I enjoy righteousness now. I enjoy being in the house of God. I enjoy preaching and teaching the word of God. I enjoy going and sharing the gospel near and far. I enjoy my time with God, even when I don't feel like spending it with him. I still enjoy it when I do it. Come on, somebody. And the flesh doesn't want to obey God, but guess what? But when we do, do we not enjoy it? Do we not feel good? Do we not feel encouraged? Does it provoke us to want to do it more? When you come to the house of God and you get a good word and you hear a good song, does it not provoke you to want to come and get some more? Does it not provoke you to want to go and tell somebody, to tell that sheep, listen, I found some green pasture and I know the shepherd, and the shepherd can supply all what you need. Guess what? He took me at my lowest state and he led me and he guided me and he provided for me. And the same shepherd that loved me is the same shepherd that loves you. Yes. He said, you don't have to try to do this thing called life on your own. He said, for by grace we are saved. We didn't deserve it. We deserve hell, but God gave us heaven. Isn't that beautiful? We deserved a spanking, but Jesus took our beating. Ain't that beautiful? You ought to be glad about that. Yes, he did. He says in verse number 7, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his what? Kindness. That word kindness is called hesed. Same thing as grace. He's showing his kindness, his hesed towards us through Christ Jesus, the Messiah who came to save, the anointed one. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The sheep whose hoofs were out of order, could do nothing to fix it, could do nothing to trim it himself. And so the shepherd came, saw the sheep's condition, laid the sheep down in his lap. He makes us to lie down in green pastures, in comforting pastures, because of his presence being there. Why does he make the sheep lie down? Verse number 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto not bad works, not sinful works, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained, here it is, that we as sheep should do what? Walk in them. Oh, these hooves were made for walking. Walking is what I'm going to do. But what about you? Not these boots, but these shoes were made for walking and following Jesus. These feet that we have. Oh, let God trim you down. Let God trim you down. The shepherd also may need to trim the sheep's wool to relieve the weight and any parasites that may be there. The shepherd sees that the sheep needs to be relieved from the weight of the wool, which I compare to the world. Yes, sir. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also have compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Watch this. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto the shepherd, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross on behalf of the sheep, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, the sheep are made to lie down because sometimes we have to shear off the weight of the world. I mean, the weight of the wool. In the same manner as he clips the hooves, he also takes the sheep and lays them down and takes the shears and takes the wool off of them. He shears off the pain. He shears off the disappointment, the weight of sin, of failures. He shears it off. And then, amazingly, God takes something that would be perceived to be useless and makes something with it. He takes something of the sheep, a sheep that would said to be no good. A sheep that would seem to be unprofitable for anything else. And yet he would clothe us with the wool of that sheep. Oh, he would also imply through the sacrifice of that sheep, the blood that would be provided with Jesus Christ as the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He says, I want you to look at this sheep because as the sheep is sacrificed, it reminds you of the sacrifice I made. As the wool is layered, as layers of it are pulled back, it reminds you of how I covered you. It should remind you of how I took care of you. Made something out of nothing. Clothed you in my righteousness. He said one day you're going to put on a robe of glory. And it's going to come from the sheep of the Lamb of God. Am I right about it? What is it in your life that needs to be trimmed like wool? What issue in the world is too heavy for you to handle? And the wool is weighing you down. You must allow God to take the shears of his word, the shears of his spirit, the shears of his presence, and trim it away. Yes. I want to talk to you a little bit about the landscape of the Judean desert. As the shepherd would lead the sheep. When you picture the shepherd leading the sheep, and the phrase, he makes me to lie down in green grass, most of us picture a very beautiful grassy knoll, full of grass, just green and glowing, kind of like that Kentucky bluegrass. And the sheep are just lying in it. Well, if you know anything about the Judean desert, it's not like that. The shepherds actually take the sheep up into the hills, the stony rocks and the stony mountains. And what God does is he brings the dew down throughout the day. The dew gets trapped on the rocks. The rocks trickle down the water into the dirt that is left there because it's desert. And from the desert, God causes little shoots of green grass to grow. It's not a long carpet, if you will, of grass. It's little shoots of grass here and there, and only the shepherd knows where to feed the sheep. So the sheep have to depend on the shepherd to lead and to guide them so that they can graze, because guess what? It's not easy finding those little shoots of grass. It reminds me of how the Lord says, give us this day our daily bread. And then that's the Judean example of the desert. God feeds the sheep in the desert. It's a barren land, and God finds a place in the midst of our barren lands for us to thrive. God finds for you that which seems to be impossible to find. That's what the 23rd Psalm is all about. That's the atmosphere that David reflects on this psalm, most likely when he was king, reflecting back on this time. The landscape of the Judean desert is rocks and hills, and it's barren land. And the sheep have to continually look to the shepherd for its daily provision. Yes. They have to totally depend on the shepherd to find grass. The modern landscape of the sheep is found with some of that luxurious grass. You know, they have farms now and they have lots of grass and they call it alfalfa grass and it grows really tall. But that's not the Judean model. But what would happen with the sheep in the modern model? And sometimes the sheep would get so comfortable in the grass that they would create a groove in the grass. And that little groove, if you will, that indention in the grass would sometimes cause the sheep to be turned upside down because they've gotten so comfortable in the tall green grass. And it's called being cast. And sometimes what happens with that is the sheep gets cast on its back and it cannot do anything. It's sitting there, it's flailing its legs, and it's only by the shepherd's assistance that the sheep is not consumed. Can you imagine a wolf, a lion, seeing a sheep stuck comfortable in the grass? Listen, saints. God doesn't want us to get comfortable with this world. He doesn't want us to get comfortable with its goods because we might find ourselves flailing in the grass. We can't move and we're just vulnerable to the enemy's attack unless the shepherd shows up. And so the sheep will begin to cry out, nah, nah, nah. The shepherd hears the sheep and he goes to the sheep and then he rights the sheep. He helps the sheep to be uprighted. Come on, somebody. God says, I want you to walk upright. And then, because you know how we do sometime when you in a position like that, your legs go to sleep. Have you ever done that? You woke up and your leg was numb and you couldn't feel it? Well, that's what happens to the sheep. So the shepherd goes over and he massages the sheep's leg until the blood flow and the sheep is able to run off again. Yes. John 16 and 33 helps us to understand that even though we live in a spiritually barren world, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, he will lead us through to better pasture. Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. Sheep need rest. Sheep need rest. But the sheep by nature would not rest until certain conditions are met by the shepherd. The shepherd has to make sure that the sheep has water, the sheep has food, the sheep has safety, and the sheep has medical attention. The shepherd himself must be free of fear and anxiety in order for the sheep to be at peace. Isaiah chapter 40 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He knows where the green pasture is. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yes, The shepherd is the one who knows where the food is. God guiding you through the word. God guiding you through daily provision. God guiding you and giving you your daily bread, your daily word. Giving you food for your soul. Jesus says, look to me, I'm your shepherd. I'm mindful of a song as I come to my close. There is a mighty spirit shining out across the sky. He's calling out the weary to green pastures, come and lie. There is a mighty spirit crossing barren land. He's sowing love unceasing. Fresh fruit springs from the sand. Harvest time is coming. The reaper's in his hand. Go tell everybody that love is his command. There is a mighty spirit shining out across the sky. He's calling out the weary to green pastures. Come and lie. Matthew chapter 11 and 28 through 29 says, come unto me all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find this beautiful word, rest for your soul. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? God wants to give you rest. He said, you shall find rest for your soul. There are three types of rest in the Bible. There's first creation's rest. We read that. Then there was Canaan's rest, when God led the children of Israel into the promised land. But he said there still remains a rest. And we call that Calvary's rest. And now is the time that you can enter into that rest by faith, where you can cease from your own works and trying to prove yourself to God and just accept the work that God has done and has approved of Jesus. You can accept Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. If you're saved, you can be confident in what Jesus has done and is doing for you as your shepherd.
Yes, sir.
Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that what? He that began a good work in you, will complete it. Why? Because he's going to continue to lead and to guide and to provide as your shepherd. He will make you to lie down in green pastures. Yes. He'll clip your toes. Sometime he'll step on your toes. You may not like it. It may feel uncomfortable. But it's going to help you to keep walking by faith. Am I right about it?
Yes.
He's going to shear off some things in your life.
Yes,
he all you have to do is trust him.
Yes.
Will you give your life to the Lord today? Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm not saved, and I want to make sure that I have a home in heaven. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for them saints? Is there one in here to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ? I'm outside the fold, and I know it. I'm not even going to play around. I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. If that's who you are, just put your hand up and put it down. I want to pray for you. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm saying join Jesus. Is there one? All you have to do is say, Father, I believe that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. I give back to you the life you formed in my mother's womb. And ask you to forgive me, make me a child of God today. I come back to your fold, and I'm glad that you're my shepherd. I can say now with David, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. This is my prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, saints, if you receive the word of God today.